Hello and welcome to Will You Still Love It Tomorrow? I'm Dave.
And I'm Annie. Each month we pick a TV show, a book or a film that one of us was a fan of before we were married and the other one doesn't really know.
Then we both watch or read it and then we come together to discuss our reactions. Fair warning, there will be spoilers.
This month, Dave made a departure from the usual format, which we've been doing a bit recently. And picked a show that he was a fan of and a show that I was a fan of to compare them.
Yes.
So the first one was 1979 and on Prisoner Cell Block H, Australian TV drama. And the second one was 2013 and on drama Orange is the New Black. And weirdly, they were exactly the same.
No, they were incredibly different.
Okay, well, this is going to be interesting. First of all, why did you pick them?
So, I've had a list of potential shows or potential things to do for the podcast for some time. People who know me well will be amazed at the moment to go, good grief, you have a spreadsheet. How could that possibly be?
Yeah, me too. I have one too. I have several, in fact.
And Prisoner Cell Block H has been on it for ages because it's a show that I watched a lot a long time ago. This is all the way back when I was at university. And I think I started watching it because it was on before something else that I really wanted to watch. And it was something that you just, you know, I've got nothing better to do for half an hour or whatever it is, I'll do this while I'm waiting. And then because it's a soap opera, you get very quickly wrapped up in, you know, what's happening with the characters, and suddenly, you know, you've watched 50 or 100 episodes. So
yeah, I can see that. I did look up what happened to several of the people in the show because I was already invested in their stories. So
we'll come to that later.
After one episode,
we will come to that later on. But so that's been on the list for ages. And then for some reason, it just suddenly occurred to me it would be really interesting to compare a show about a groundbreaking show at the time about women's prison to a much more recent, much more popular show about a women's prison to see if they were approached differently or showed the situation as being significantly different. So.
Okay. Well, 30 years different and, you know, not much changed as far as I was concerned, apart from one particular thing, which you didn't really get in the first episode of Orange is the New Black, so... Fascinating. So...
we will get there.
In terms of plot synopses, I mean, a fish out of water white woman gets thrown into prison, establishes that it's not very nice there, stories are followed for various prisoners and guards in the show, describes both of them.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah. That's all I've got, really.
Okay.
Facts. I mean, one major difference is Prisoner Cell Block H, 692 episodes across 10 years.
So it'll come up under... regular listeners will know that we have a facts about these things section before we get into what we thought
and
of
that's
it.
That's what we're doing.
And... it was originally supposed to be 19 episodes, and I can't remember the...
What, in total?
No, as a pilot.
Oh, okay, pilot season.
And then I can't remember how many were in the first season, but I think it was 78, I think, in the first season.
Wowza.
And well over 100 in all the other seasons.
So it must have been on, like, 5 days a week for eight months of the year or something.
It was certainly on multiple days a week.
Yeah.
I was thinking what it must be like acting in this thing where you presumably get your lines like 2 days in advance and you're doing stuff every day.
Yeah, well, you know, soap operas.
Yeah, you know, it's very different to filming a, you know, 22 episode season for something, especially since in something like, I don't know, pick any major sort of normal show, you're presumably shooting a lot of it out of order, especially if you're shooting on site, whereas in this you'll be, you know, doing it chronologically because you've got to, because there's some poor souls churning the scripts out in real time.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, so that was 692 episodes across 9 years.
Wow.
Orange is the New Black was 91 episodes across 7 years. So yeah, quite different.
So shall I do some prisoner facts?
Yeah, go for it.
So it was apparently...
Yeah, so in Australia it was just called Prisoner, and in the US and UK it was called Prisoner Cell Block H for some reason.
So it was inspired by a British television drama called Within These Walls that I had vaguely heard of, that was a, you know, true life documentary of life within women's prison. Mm. And so that's where...
Oh,
the...
a documentary. Oh, okay. Mm, so yes. They're both, again, they're both based on real accounts.
Yes. Supposed kind, real accounts. Kind of. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. The storylines, at least in the first season and possibly later on, were co-written by the Victoria Corrective Services Department. So it was done
Wowza.
With the full agreement of the, well, the prison unexpected. System. So okay. You know, they were heavily involved.
Okay.
It was one of the first television shows in Australia, starting in 1979, to touch on previously unheard of things such as feminism.
Well.
And LGBT matters.
Yeah, and well, yeah.
Issues with drugs and social reform. It was all okay. Very, very radical at the time. It's been exported to 80 different countries.
Wowza.
So it was extremely popular.
Yeah.
The person who created it was also responsible in the UK for Crossroads, which is a very long-running
yes,
soap opera.
Yes, very long-running.
But he also did Neighbours.
Okay.
He did The Young Doctors.
Okay.
Which several... older women of my acquaintance liked a great deal for a certain attractive young man. And
who?
I can't remember. Ugh. Your mother, for a start.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, I believe so. And I think called Sons and Daughters, that was very, very
oh, yes.
Popular.
No, I'm very well. I've seen quite a lot of Sons and Daughters.
Oh, I haven't.
Tangentially, again, I much like we were talking about EastEnders earlier in the day, I was in the room when it was on, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Two different things.
Mm-hmm. It had a number of different, air quotes, remakes. Including a thing called Wentworth, which is the name of the prison that they were in, which was on from 2013 to 2021 and was quite
oh,
popular.
Wow, okay.
It won a whole bunch of awards, but only in Australia.
Okay.
And in the UK, the fan club was so big and so popular that they were behind not only a UK play, which got several of the original cast members...
But there was also a musical!
But there was also a musical.
Yeah.
With a drag queen in.
Oh, okay.
Which was very weird, apparently.
Fair enough.
But yes, yes, it was a thing, apparently. Shall we do Orange is the New Black?
Yes. So that was created by Jenji Cohen, who read a memoir by a woman called Piper Kerman about her experiences in prison. And Jenji Cohen says that she created the show with Piper, who is renamed Piper Chapman, as the central character, as a Trojan horse, so that she could introduce diverse characters of types who would not normally get a spotlight in a TV show, which is why in the first episode you don't get as much diversity as the show is then known for. And, you know, similarly, it was groundbreaking in some ways because it's the first scripted TV show to have a trans character actually played by a trans actor, Laverne Ooh. Cox as Sophia.
That's really interesting. I didn't know American prisons let trans women into women's prisons.
Yeah, well, there's stuff about that. She has quite a good arc.
Yeah.
She's one of my favourite characters.
That's really interesting.
She's only very briefly in it. In the okay. first episode, she comments about Piper's hair because she runs the hair salon in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, but it was later criticised. Again, it got lots of awards.
Well,
it was largely
so
praised for celebrating diverse women.
Can I do some other things before we get to the awards?
Sure.
So, briefly, just going back to Jenji Cohen, before she did Orange is the New Black, she did a thing called Tracy Takes On, which I know nothing about, which won quite a lot of awards. And then she did Orange is the New Black, that again won a lot of awards. And now she's doing Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not entirely sure what went wrong there, but you know.
Well, I don't know, but Orange, should we just call it Orange?
Sure.
Orange was later criticised by critics of colour for, let me get this right, repurposing real life tragedies and traumas suffered by communities of colour for stories written by and for a white audience.
So, It certainly very much seemed that way when I was watching it. But we'll get to, I mean,
I was going to say I don't remember it that way, but then I'm part of the white audience. Yes. So
but we'll,
I can't really comment.
I mean, we normally talk about diversity at the end, and I think that it may well come up in the conversation, but that's certainly how it struck me. But it's certainly more interesting than in Prisoner, where there are no non-white characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so, no, Orange is very diverse. I was really surprised by the first episode, but there is a reason behind that, because it's very much from Piper's point of view, and it's presenting Piper as the main character. And as she says to her fiancé on the phone after her first day, I've only spoken to white people, because it's very segregated in the prison by the choice of the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
They do separate by racial lines.
Mm-hmm.
But there are fantastic non-white characters. I mean, Tasty, who you get a very brief experience of in the first episode and is not representative of her character at all, is probably one of my favourite characters in anything ever. I think she's amazing. And Danielle Brooks was shot massively to fame from that, and she's fantastic. So, you know, but I can't comment on that because I am part of the white audience, but I appreciated the diversity in it, diversity of age, of gender, of orientation, of size, all sorts of stuff. I mean, there's, and everybody gets arcs and flashbacks, and you get to learn huge amounts about the background of pretty much all the characters that you see in the first episode, and many, many more over the course of the seven seasons. It surprised me that it was only 91 episodes over seven seasons, because there's so much goes on and there's so much in it.
So a few more things just briefly on Orange. Yes. Certainly in 2016 when it came out, was that the first?
2013
when it came out. So in 2016 when it was in the middle of its run, it was by some margin the most successful show on Netflix. So it was very popular. It has consistently high scores across all the series, both on Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes, well into the 80%. So again, very widely liked by both professional critics and the public. It won a lot of awards. We're talking a bit about how both of these shows were very different to what I expected.
Okay.
And Orange specifically is listed in Wikipedia as being a comedy drama.
Mm.
And
it gets progressively grimmer
as it started.
And the end of season seven is absolutely horrific in many ways.
It's interesting how much of that arc is deliberate by the showrunner. But anyway, the pre-2015, for reasons that I didn't understand, even after trying to do some research, it was in the comedy category of the Emmys, and it won Outstanding Comedy Series, Outstanding Writing for a Comedy Series, etc., etc. Post-2015, for some weird reason, it had to go into the drama category, and it won Outstanding Drama Series and Outstanding Actress in a Drama Series.
That's really interesting.
It's the only television show to win Emmys in both categories, because for some reason it had
it
to
switched,
move.
Yeah.
And
much darker as it goes along.
I really did not expect it to be funny, and there were some bits.
Was it funny?
I found some bits of it laugh out loud funny in the first episode, which I did not expect at all.
That's quite weird.
But the reason why
I
reason why I wanted to talk about awards specifically is it got 6 Golden Globe nominations, 6 Guild of Writers nominations, a whole bunch of wins. Producers Guild of America Award, an American Film Institute Award, and most importantly, a Peabody Award, which is incredibly impressive for a TV show.
Okay.
Super impressive. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to know what it won the Peabody for. But before we dive into the show,
yes,
coincidentally, for reasons, I happened to be looking at the Ministry of Justice Shiny Data website the other day.
Okay.
And I just wanted to touch briefly on some actual figures about actual prisons.
Sure.
So there are currently 85,000 people in prison in the UK.
Okay, so you're talking about the UK.
Yes.
Whereas Prisoner is Australian and Orange is
US.
Yeah.
I'm just, doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give context, 85,000 people, which is a huge amount, but only 3,500 of those are women. Now, both these shows are women's prisons.
Yeah.
But women's prisons, there are far, far fewer women in prison everywhere.
Yep.
Than men. So it's not, you know, it's representative of a thing, but it's a small group compared to men. Across the board, recidivism is about 1 in 4. So as is shown a lot in Prisoner, and I don't know about Orange because I haven't seen it, not most of, but a very high proportion of the women who are in there have been in prison before.
Okay.
So that's a big thing. In the UK, 25% are in what's called crowded accommodation, which is more people staying in a cell than it was designed for.
Yeah, well, that happens in the show. There's an awful lot in Orange. There's an awful lot about privatisation of prisons and how that affects things, and
the warden
trying to do things and getting shut down by the agency that actually owns and runs the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all kind of profit driven and corporate. Mm. And at one point, instead of them having the cells with 4 people to a cell, they split them into open plan dormitories with like triple bunk beds, and there's like 15 people to a room kind of a thing. And that's one of the things, the like massive overcrowding and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah,
blimey, there's a high rate of self-harm, sadly. I don't know if that's represented in Orange much, but it's certainly a thing in the real world. And over 1 in 10 random drug tests comes out as positive, so there's a high rate of drug use.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of stuff about drugs in Orange.
Yeah, so I don't know how they get into
and
prisons.
And alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know how it gets in, but there's certainly a lot of it going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the meta stuff. I have extensive notes, which are not in any particular order. They're basically written down as I went through the episodes, and then
can I just briefly run through how they were both exactly the same?
Can I then talk about how they're really different and also really different to my expectation?
Yes, but can I do mine first?
Oh yeah, totally.
Because mine's quite short. So I mean, I'm quite disappointed in a way, because they both touch on all the same tropes. So you've got a lot of the same stereotype characters.
Mm-hmm.
So in Prisoner, you've got Queen Bee, who's the hard, old, like middle-aged woman who's basically in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And in Orange, you've got Red, who's played by Kate Mulgrew, who is the hard middle-aged woman who's basically in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the predatory butch lesbian, Frankie in Prisoner, and Big Boo in Orange, who you only see very briefly. She's the one who comes across and asks Red for a yogurt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't get one. You've got the kind of fluffy, pretty one who kind of comes on to all the men, Marilyn in Prisoner and Morello in Orange. You've got drugs being a thing, so in Prisoner, one of the characters, Sally, commits suicide because she's been using drugs in the prison and has been cut off from her supply. And Nikki, who's Natasha Lyon, the one with all the red hair, who's one of my favourites, has massive arcs for, you know, being addicted to drugs. You've got Mum, who is the sort of nice one who helps out people in Prisoner, and you've got the nun in Orange, who plays the same role. So, you know, you've basically got exactly the same stereotypical characters. One nice guard, Meg in Prisoner, Bennett in Orange is the New Black. He wasn't really in it, but, you know. So they're all the classic archetypes for a prison drama are there in 1979 and 2013.
Although it is worth pointing out that stereotypes are often stereotypes for a reason.
Well, true, but, you know, it followed lots of sort of similar things. You've got different characters who end up having arcs and you find out about their backgrounds gradually, and different episodes focus on different characters. So in terms of the format, it was all very similar. One of the things that was interesting to me in the differences category was that in Prisoner Cell Block H there were only 3 male characters who had very few lines. There was the doctor, the electrician, and Karen's husband in flashbacks were the only 3 men who spoke. And
most of his lines are "arg, arg, I'm being stabbed."
Yes, true. And the governor of the prison is a woman. Whereas in Orange there's quite a lot of main male characters, and the warden is a man. So
who seemed quite nice.
Until he started masturbating
directly
after.
Not him.
He's the warden.
Oh, the governor. I don't seem really nice.
Who? Who are you talking about?
The guy that she talks to and says don't bath except in the wastebasket.
Oh, Sam. No, he's her counsellor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was interesting because Sam is nice, but he's very weak.
I thought he was the governor.
No, he's her counsellor. He's very weak. He has a lot of issues in his arc. And Bennett, I said, was the one nice guard. Mm. He also is weak and has a lot of issues. So none of the men are particularly great, because there's Larry, who's Piper's fiancé, and he's not that great either, to be fair. So he has to deal with quite a lot, but I don't think he deals with it very well. Anyway, so yes, there's a lot more men in Orange than there were in Prisoner also, so I saw in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, I just found it interesting because I was watching it. I was like, this is basically exactly the same thing, only 30 years later. So why do you say that it is completely different?
So it's not different in terms of the types of characters and the arcs that they have, but it's extremely different in the way that it's created.
Oh, how so?
So Prison Cell Block H, most of it's obviously filmed inside. My note down here is cheap as chips.
Yes, well, Orange has quite good production values.
Yeah, $4 million
an episode. And a lot better writing.
Well, yes.
And also a huge amount more nudity and sex.
Yes, well, almost.
A lot of sex.
We'll almost certainly come to that. But what struck me about Prisoner that I did not expect is it's incredibly dark right off the bat. We get a character that kills themselves in the first episode. We get somebody who's been accused of trying to bury a child alive, and it turns out that she's innocent and
she's been framed. Yeah, and the main character was tortured by her husband.
Yeah,
put cigarettes out on her back, and also forced her to have an abortion. And while she was having the abortion, he was having sex with somebody else in their house.
Yeah,
so you know.
And
when I discovered that her trial was redone and she was let off, I was like, yeah, I can see that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Her case was reopened.
But the arc,
she was released.
But the arc right at the start for her is that in the trial she didn't mention any of the things that he'd done because she thought she deserved to be there, which you could argue that she was because she did stab him.
She did stab him, yes, that's true.
But my point is that there's all of these things right off the bat, and there's, as you said, there's B, who's like, you know, the
Queen Bee.
Yeah, a person who kind of like is in charge of everything there, prisoner. Because prisoners don't tend to like other prisoners who've allegedly or otherwise been doing things with children. She sticks the new person's hand in a steam press in the first episode. And you know, maims her, basically.
Yeah.
And so there's violence, and there's threats of violence, and there's suicide, and it's very dark.
Yeah, and Karen and is harassed by the predatory queer character.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, what I found quite interesting was because a lot of the times there's like a cone of silence, so you know, the people in authority will go, how did you injure your hand? And you're like, oh, I shut it in a door.
Yeah.
Whereas Karen immediately goes to the governor and goes, this person's been harassing me, I want to be moved out of her cell.
And the other
and
one,
they're like, suck it up.
And the other one immediately goes and says,
Queen Bee shoved my hand in the press. And they're like, oh, well, you just have to get on with it, kind of a thing.
It's like, you know, there's a theme which I'll come to later concerning that kind of thing, but we'll come to that in a bit. But because what I want to talk about is how really unexpectedly upbeat Orange is, because I expected it to be. I'm trying to think of a. This is going to sound terrible, but I've never watched The Wire.
Oh, The Wire's grim ass.
I also haven't watched
Oz.
Come to that.
Oz was actually mentioned.
It was
in Orange is the New Black.
No,
that's also incredibly grim.
Heisenberg, Pizza on the Roof.
What? What are you talking about?
Teacher sells lots of drugs. Very popular television show for.
Quite oh a long time. Yes, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
No,
that kind
I
of
haven't
thing.
Seen that. Yeah.
You know, those sort of shows. I imagine I don't watch them because I imagine they are incredibly grim and violent and dark.
Mm.
And that's what I thought Orange was going to be like right off the front. And
yes,
instead,
it becomes that way.
It's incredibly well lit. There's quite a lot of upbeat music.
Yeah.
And the first half of the first episode, she's not in jail.
Well, yes,
she
you get quite a lot of flashback, yeah.
She doesn't arrive until like halfway through the thing, and she goes and checks herself in. And after she gets there, almost everybody is really
nice. Quite nice
to her,
it's
really nice to her.
Up until the point where she criticises the food and Red starts a vendetta against her.
Yeah, but even that is, you know, slightly comical. What really surprised me about Orange is, in the first episode at least, there is not a single instance of violence or threat of violence.
That's true.
At any point in the whole episode.
Yeah. It really surprised me, because when I was originally trying to decide what episode to suggest, because I was assigned to pick one, because it was kind of my show, I went through and I found, you know, later ones which are supposedly really good. And first of all, I was like, well, you're not going to understand anything that's going on, because there's so much stuff goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every single one that I looked at that was meant to be really good, even the ones that were meant to be really good because they were funny, had something incredibly horrific happen. I was like, I would never have put this on the list to do for the podcast, because I thought you would absolutely hate it. So I was like, well, let's just watch the first episode of both and see, you know, from the start. And it surprised me that it was a lot lighter than I remembered, because I remember all of the stuff. So I didn't find any of it funny, because I'm looking at all these characters and I've got all this weight of knowledge of things that happen later.
Okay, right.
And it is, yeah, it's very hard hitting later on. And I mean, up until like season 5 was actually criticized for being torture porn.
Oh,
it got very grim in the middle.
And
I remember things that happened in the last episode that I was just really upset by.
Okay.
Like, the last episode of season 7 was very upsetting.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Because I'm super organised, I watched Prisoner a little while back, but I only watched Orange just before we'd done the recording. And every so often I would pause it and
watched Prisoner yesterday.
Shush. Every so often I would pause it and I would tap her in the shoulder and go, does this one get horribly killed? Does that one get horribly killed?
And I was like, I don't actually remember that many people dying. Oh yeah, there's that person. 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 None of those people were in the first episode, so you're not aware of any of them. But I mean, it's not masses. It's like 4 or 5 over the course of 7 seasons. It's probably more that I've forgotten about. But
so,
oh yeah, because there's the body that gets buried under the garden as well. So that's somebody.
That's very silly.
Because
it would be very obvious very quickly.
Yeah.
What was I going to say?
So that's 5, at least, that I can remember. I'm sure there's probably a lot more.
Nah. So, in terms of comparing the two shows, Orange is based on a book by a woman who went to a minimum security prison.
Yeah.
So is the prison in Orange a minimum security prison?
Yes, because they talk about getting sent to max, and Nikki at least gets sent to max for a bit, and so does Alex, I think.
I don't know who those people are, but it doesn't matter.
Nikki's the one with the red hair, and Alex is Piper's lover who dobbed her in and got her arrested.
Oh, right, okay. What does she get sent to max for?
I can't remember.
Yeah, so in the show, the central character, previously, before she was with her current fiancé, had a previous girlfriend for whom she transported a whole bunch of drug money over a border. And what's happened is, 10 years later, her now ex-partner has been arrested, and in order to reduce her own sentence, has dobbed her in from 10 years ago, which is quite incredible. And then right at the end of the episode, when our principal character, because of various reasons, has run off outside and is having a panic attack, the ex-girlfriend turns up, and I thought she was just in her head. I thought she just imagined it.
No, she is actually. The relationship between Piper and Alex is a massive plot point in the first couple of seasons.
No, okay. Do they get back together again?
They do, yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes, they do.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. What happens to her at the end?
I can't remember.
No.
But what I find interesting is that Piper, to me, even though she is the person in the show who is most like me, I do not find her sympathetic or engaging or interesting in any way. I think she is an absolute waste of space and the least interesting character in the entire show. And yet she is based on a real person who wrote the memoir that the show is based on and who appears in the credits, so must have been involved to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
And I would find it interesting to read the book to see whether she actually presents herself as incredibly self-involved and naive and massively privileged and
probably
rubbish, or whether that's something that the show creator has either interpreted from her reading of the book and or meeting her, or created to, you know, serve the show in some way.
I mean, it's possible it's been created to serve the show, but I imagine that she's done it herself, because I can't imagine that the show would do that if that's not how she was portraying herself, or at least agreed to have herself portrayed, without her going to the press and going, I've been done. Because it was such an incredibly popular show, if she wanted to make a bunch of money on the talk show networks, all she's got to do is turn up and go, I'm being massively misrepresented, and she'd make
I don't know, because I mean, the show was incredibly popular, and it is very much focused on Piper, at least to start with. And she does remain a main character all the way through, so maybe other people do find her sympathetic. Did you find her sympathetic?
God, no.
No, she's terrible.
We'll come back to that in just... I keep saying this, but we'll come back to that in just a second, but I just want to go back to the comparison, which is in Prisoner, a lot of the characters are murderers.
Yeah.
So B in particular has killed several people.
Right, okay.
And it's interesting that you've got people who are in for drug crimes, and you've got people who are in for, I can't remember what the new people went in for. One killed a husband and the other one, oh yeah, they thought they
kidnapped and buried a child.
So I guess they're both violent crimes, but it's, yeah, it's different, because I assumed that Orange was going to be basically full of people who were constantly beating up and threatening to, you know, shiv each other, and it was all going to be like that. And
some of that, but not a lot.
And it turns out that most of it is just people who are doing non-violent crime, which I didn't really didn't expect that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they are in that.
I mean, there are some murderers in there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. And most of them are the ones who've been in prison for decades and have been kind of like let into minimum security because they've, you know, done 30 years already, and now they're really old.
Mm-hmm. What's the nun in for?
I can't remember.
Oh, okay. What was I going to say? Yeah, so this is all the way back to, you know, how they're different. So they feel very different in terms of how they're shot. Prisoner is very claustrophobic because it's filmed in TV sets, and so they've made everything...
And it's all kind of dark grey and shadowy.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was really interesting that lights out, everyone goes back into their cells, and they close the cell doors, but cell doors all have bars with a flap that you can put over the bars to seal all the light out. But then they turn the lights out in the corridors. Why would you do that? Because the cells are all dark anyway, and the guards can't see when they're wandering around.
You say that it was really dark and claustrophobic, but one of the contrasts is that in Orange, you've got cells, four to a cell in two sets of bunk beds with about 6 foot gap between the bunk beds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Prisoner, they had like tables and chairs and a tea set, and they all had their own beds, and it wasn't bunk beds. And the cells were huge.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were like having tea.
I don't remember the tea sets, but I remember...
They had teddy bears and all sorts.
But I remember that the cells were quite big, and they were maximum three to a cell, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is definitely a thing. What was I going to say? Yes, picking up on something that you said earlier that I definitely wanted to talk about. There's no reference in Prisoner to the new prisoners having any idea what it was going to be like. Whereas in Orange, not only is there a reference to Oz, which is another...
Yeah.
Is it about a women's prison?
No, it's okay. Men's. It's very, very violent. It's really good, but it was very violent.
So there's a reference to Oz about, you know, it's not like that here. And also Piper several times says, I've been reading books about what it's like in prison. I know what you're supposed to do when you turn up.
Yeah.
And because there's been a lot of media about what it's been like to be in prison over the last few decades, I don't know if that's something that really existed before, or if Prisoner itself was kind of groundbreaking in that regard. And then, so,
well, certainly for women's prison.
So a lot of people, I think, think that they have an idea of what prison is like.
Mm.
And I wonder whether that's had an impact on crime in some way, because people are thinking, shit, I know what it's like now. So,
well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. One of the things that I specialise in as a professional editor is editing prison memoirs.
I wasn't going to bring it up unless you did.
And most of them say that the best way to find out how to do crime better is to go to prison and talk to all of the other people who have also done crime.
Well, there is that, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I have many other things. What would you like to talk about before I leap in with something?
Well, do you have anything else to say about Prisoner? Because I don't, apart from the fact that there was a off-colour rape joke.
There was.
One of the guards.
One of the female guards.
One of the female guards, yes, about Marilyn coming on to the doctor to try and get drugs.
Yes, she will rape you one of these days.
Yeah, yes. Which is, you know, less than ideal.
Specifically to do with Prisoner, I thought it was an interesting choice to, right at the start, have the two characters, one of whom you're presumably supposed to feel slightly sympathetic for, even though she murdered her husband because of the terrible things that he did. And that, yes, there's an interesting arc. But I also thought it was particularly interesting to, I won't go into how you find out, but you discover that the one who's been convicted of child kidnapping didn't do it and is actually, yes, completely innocent.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything similar in Orange where you get like a god's eye view proof of the fact that somebody is actually innocent.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, a lot of them get flashbacks to what happened to them before and leading up to them getting into prison.
Mm.
And there probably is that storyline at some point, yeah, I expect, because it's fairly classic.
Mm.
But I looked up what happened to Lynn, the one who was accused of kidnapping. Yeah. She is actually released. She is actually found out to be innocent and released, but then she gets involved with a dodgy fella and is persuaded by him to do crimes and gets sent back to prison for actually doing a crime.
Oh dear.
Yeah, less than ideal.
The
not a great arc for her.
The only arc I remembered from when I watched it originally 30 plus years ago was one of the women who'd been in there a long time being released and not being able to cope because she's had such a structured and ordered life for like 20 years inside that the first thing that she does when she gets outside is deliberately commit more crimes so she'll get locked up again because she feels comfortable in a structure that she's...
Well, I mean, that's one of the storylines in Shawshank. It's the really old guy who's been in for decades and he actually kills himself because he just can't cope because he's been in the prison for like 40 years.
Mm.
So yeah, that's also a thing.
One of the things I thought was interesting in Prisoner was you get your big pile of, you know, clothes and bedclothes and other stuff, and then one of the guards shoves on top an instruction book, and he says, "Go off and read this and learn how to..."
She says, there aren't any men.
Oh no, there aren't any male guards, are there?
No,
that's a good point.
Not that we see.
I know because I know somebody in the real world who is involved in doing some work in prisons that there's a very high rate of illiteracy for people who are in prisons. And you give them an instruction book and a lot of people would be stuffed.
Mm.
And what was really interesting about the work that they were involved in, they did a very successful test where they bought a set of very cheap portable MP3 players, and they recorded a bunch of stuff about how you're supposed to do stuff in prison and then intercut it with popular music and then gave them to new prisoners. This was at a youth offending centre, and gave them to new prisoners when they arrived, and you got to keep it for like a fortnight or something and hand it on to the next person.
Interesting.
And it really, really cut down on new people getting involved in, you know, fights and stuff right at the start because they much better took on how to fit in with what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a really good idea.
Yeah. Interestingly that you mentioned the illiteracy. Karen, who is the main character, I would say, in the first episode of Prisoner, the abused wife who killed her husband, is harassed by the violent, predatory lesbian character, Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
But later on in the series, Karen teaches Frankie to read.
Oh,
and builds
okay.
a better relationship with her by doing that.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they mentioned, they don't show any examples of, but they mentioned in Prisoner there's lots of opportunities to learn and do new stuff if you want to, you know, not just sit around and stare at the walls. You know, here's all the things that you can do while you're here. And in Orange, you've already mentioned, like, you know, it's interesting that they're picked up by who? In the van.
Morello.
They're picked up by Morello in the van, and Piper says, "Well, they let you drive." And she says, "Well, we do everything. You know, who's going to do stuff?" Yeah. And they, you know, obviously they run the laundry and they run the kitchen. And you said there's
they do the cleaning.
There's the cleaning. There's the commissary. There's the hairdressers. Yep. There's, you know, yoga. There's all these different things. So there's a lot of
stuff. But when Piper's talking to Larry about going to prison, and she says, "Oh, I'll do some studying and I'll get really ripped and I'll learn a craft and I'll read all of the things on my Amazon wish list," and I was like, "Oh God, no."
No?
She spends quite a lot of time sewing underwear.
Okay.
But then she creates a business venture using her brother as the person smuggling stuff out and orders in by getting inmates to wear the underwear and then sell them to dodgy men who want used underwear from female prisoners.
Uh-huh.
And she does pretty well out of that for a while.
I would imagine.
Because she works out, interestingly, because they have a pattern. They have a set amount of material,
mm-hmm.
and they have a pattern, and they have to cut out the pieces and then sew them together to make the underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And she works out that if you arrange the pattern pieces exactly so, you can make an extra set of underwear out of the material they're given for every four pieces of material they're given. So she gets everybody making extra underwear and then selling them to dodgy guys who have unfortunate fetishes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we don't.
So in the space of 15 months, because what was really interesting... I found it really interesting because I was like, oh, I can't remember how long. I thought Piper was in it all the way through, but it's seven seasons.
Mm.
But seven seasons actually only takes 18 months of like real time within the show. So she actually does only do her 15 month sentence, and then you see what happens when
she doesn't get let out on good behavior.
No, she does the full 15 months because various other things happen. I thought she got extended and that it went on for like years and years, but it doesn't. It only covers about 18 months of real time. So the change in her from her naive, ridiculously privileged, wimpy beginnings to where she ends up with "trust no bitch" tattooed on her arm,
really?
And running the used underwear business from inside the prison is quite dramatic over a year.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
What else specifically to do with Prisoner? They call people by their first names.
Yes, whereas that's very much not the case in Orange.
Including the guards.
Yes.
They've,
well, no, I mean, they're meant to call...
They're not meant to,
you know.
But the people who've been there for a while certainly seem to be allowed to.
Yes.
Which is not the same thing. So the relationships between the guards and the prisoners are quite informal.
Mm.
There's a divide between, the people who seem to be, you know, long-term, some, if not trusted, then certainly... people who are well understood and how they fit in the hierarchy, and they seem to have a much more casual relationship with the guards.
Mm.
And I don't know in Orange whether it's the same, whether, you know, people... Because it's almost like, you know, the guards and I was told myself I wouldn't do this, but I was going to compare it to porridge and say that, you know, that you end up with the guards and some of the guards and the prisoners almost being like friendly because they spend so much time together.
Well, yes. I mean, that does happen with some. I mean, most of the guards aren't great in Orange. There is a female guard who comes in new later and does, you know, try to be friends with people and it doesn't end well for her. But there's also Bennett, who is the new guard who helps the guy with the mustache with the computer when they're taking the photos. Mm-hmm. He actually has a baby with Diaz, who is the Latina prisoner who turns up the same time as Piper.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And who gets slapped in the face by her mum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you understand why that happened?
Well,
because she's ended up in prison.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which her mum did not intend to happen to her. She was, that was not meant to happen. There's an awful lot of stuff goes on with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Diaz actually has the baby in prison because she gets pregnant in prison.
Yeah.
So yeah, the guard gets fired, and then there's the whole shenanigans about who gets the baby and all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff goes on with the guards, but it's mostly not great.
So of course.
Oh no, there's the one, the guy who runs the wood shop. He has a very friendly relationship with quite a lot of the prisoners as well, which also gets him to massive amounts of trouble because they get access to the woodshop and power tools and whatnot. Not great, no. So when the guards try and be friendly, it doesn't end well.
Okay. I've still got some things on prison, if that's all right.
Of course.
I thought it was really interesting that the guards and the governor, to some extent, do an awful lot of saying, just suck it up.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just cope with it.
Mm.
And I specifically thought it was really interesting at one point where one of the guards, I can't remember the exact context, but one of the guards essentially used the threat of what another prisoner might do to the person they were talking to as a way to control them. I'm not going to do anything, but... You know,
you don't want to get on Frankie's bad side.
If you don't fall in line, then this other thing will happen to you.
Yeah,
and it seemed to be, you know, a threat.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting that when the person who turned out to be innocent turned up and was having her interview with the governor when she arrived, the governor said, "I've all aware of your case, I've been keeping up with it, and you are guilty and a terrible person and it should be blah blah blah."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the governor shouldn't be taking an opinion.
You would have thought not.
About whether someone is innocent or guilty.
Well, I mean, as the governor of a prison, they can't go around going, "Actually, I think you're innocent."
Yes, I know. But what I'm saying is they can say the court has found you guilty and therefore because of this is happening, not I think you are a terrible person.
It doesn't
feel like a thing to do. That's everything I've got for prisoner.
Yeah.
Shall I talk about Orange?
Of course.
There's an awful lot of sex.
There is an awful lot of sex, yeah. A lot of sex, a lot of nudity.
In the opening credits, virtually, we get... Or directly after that, we get what I've written. Ah, semi-naked bisexuality, right in the thing.
Well, it's interesting because I wrote down, because you get in the opening section, you get Piper in bed with Larry and also having sex with Alex. Mm-hmm. So she is presented as having sex with both men and women. And I was like, bi representation, but I do not want her to be my bi representation. But then later on, when it shows the flashback of her explaining to her family what had happened, one of the members of her family goes, "So you were a lesbian?" And she says, "Yes, Mum, I was a lesbian, but I'm not a lesbian anymore."
She said, "At the time."
At the time, I was a lesbian, but I'm not a lesbian anymore. And I'm like, hello, that's not how it works.
Well, it can be how it works.
It can be how it works, but it's not how it works in this show.
Well, I'm sure that's true.
Because she is very much bisexual. She never refers to herself. Well, I don't. Maybe she does later, but to begin with, she's like, it's very binary, which is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, the point that I was making, though, is a meta thing about if you're trying to sell this to a certain, especially Netflix type of watching audience, if you're having, here is the hot on-screen sex, like 30 seconds into the show, it's like, you know, one way of trying to draw more people into
viewing the thing.
I thought... And I don't know if this is always the opening credits, but all of the close-up pictures of the prisoners...
I love the opening credits.
Really good.
Yes, I love the opening credits. The
music was weird.
I love that song, though. I love that song.
But it's so upbeat.
I mean, yes and no.
Weird.
I've always loved the credits to Orange. But what I didn't realise, I've watched that credits 91 times plus... and it's never... I always watch the whole thing because I really love the song and I think the credits is great. It's lots and lots of close-ups of eyes and lips of different types of women. In actual fact, they are all non-actors, ex-prisoners, and one of them is Piper Kerman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I assumed it was people from the show.
No, no, they're all actual ex-female prisoners.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, because I always thought it was really interesting that they were really diverse, but then none of them, I knew none of them were people from the show.
Oh, okay.
So after all this time, I have discovered this, so I was quite pleased about that.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I love the credits. But both shows use the classic bars slamming shut noise in their credits.
Oh, also, going back to Prisoner just briefly, just because you mentioned the bars thing, so many adverts.
Yeah,
I mean,
ad breaks.
I mean, we don't see the adverts from where we watched it on a streaming service because they were all cut out. But
yeah.
There
lots
must
of ad breaks, yeah.
It was an arrow. There must have been six, maybe? You know,
yeah,
I feel like it's one every less than 10
minutes.
It's
classic. It's a 42-minute show in an hour slot. So there's 18 minutes of adverts.
Wow. How people can do that? No
well, we
idea.
Used to watch stuff like that.
That's
I mean,
true.
There's never
yeah.
so many ad breaks in UK TV.
True, yeah.
But yes, I certainly wouldn't want to go back to that now.
Yeah. I've said
I pay so I don't have to watch the adverts on channel4.com.
I mean, I've said before that it's the start of Prisoner is the two new people turning up on the first day straight into the prison.
Yeah.
And in Orange, it's half an hour before we get to the prison. It's
well, it starts with her in the prison, because she has the altercation, well, the confrontation with Tasty in the
very,
shower.
Very, very briefly.
But yes, there is an awful lot more flashback. I mean, again, they were both in similar way. You pick a couple of people to have the story about, so there's stuff that's happening to them in the prison,
mm-hmm.
and then you also get the flashbacks to what happened to them before, and that's how Orange is very much structured too. There's
yeah.
a lot more flashback in this because it's introducing Piper and the characters from outside and
mm-hmm.
lead up to her going to the prison, but mostly it's you know set largely in the prison with occasional flashbacks to pick out different characters and what happened before.
In this whole like half hour build up before she even gets there, her boyfriend is kind of making jokes about it, and she's kind
well,
of
I mean,
making light about it, and her family
they're trying to cope.
Don't seem to be particularly shocked about it, at least not on screen. But there is a moment where she goes off and has a bit of a cry, and I'm like, you know, at least you know at some point somebody is you know recognizing some kind of impact. It's like,
yeah,
wow.
Interesting. I thought that was really good in Prisoner that they did the flashbacks were connected to things
mm-hmm.
that happened to Karen. So when
yes.
she's taken originally
oh, she
to
did,
the shower,
she did get
she has
flashbacks.
The flashback, and
yeah, yeah.
she's obviously suffering from PTSD.
She stabbed her husband in the shower.
Yeah, and there's a various other things where it kind of connects something that happened in the
mm-hmm.
in the prison to something that happened before. I thought that was really well put together.
I kept expecting in Orange that there would be, you know, some flashback to her and the fiancé being really cutesy, and then a flash to the present day where someone's being shivved directly in front of her. But, you know, it was never
no.
like that. You know, there wasn't really ever any...
Yeah, don't watch season 5.
Okay. There's some interesting things that she, a Piper in Orange, got from what I thought was the governor and turns out to be her counsellor. He says, no one here is going to mess with you. I mean, unless you let them. And
yeah, well, Sam's rubbish.
And it's like, okay, those two things are slightly contradictory.
Yeah, Sam is very rubbish.
He also said, I thought it was really interesting, don't make any friends.
Yeah.
Now, you could interpret that, I think, in one of two different ways. One of which is always keep yourself to yourself and don't ever really talk to anybody and just, you know, go quietly mad in the corner and don't interact with anybody.
Mm.
And the other way I'd interpret that is don't join a gang.
Well, yes, there is that.
Is don't, you know, pick...
Also, don't try and get close to people and think that they're nice because most people in here are not nice.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, to me it was a coded reference to, you know, there are groups of people in here who will try and recruit you. Don't do that.
Mm.
Suddenly I'm thinking of another show about being in prison and about somebody joining the Aryan Brotherhood in order to something or other. But I don't know what show that was.
Well, it happens in a lot of them.
Definitely a men's prison, that one.
Yeah. Yes, Larry, who's her fiancé, is a Jewish character, makes
yeah.
a joke about her joining the Aryan Nation. It's like, that's
yeah.
a little bit weird.
Didn't we watch a show about a guy who learnt to be a lawyer while he was in prison?
Yes.
And then he came out and did stuff. I can't remember what that was called. It was quite good, though.
It was good.
But that, I think it might have been flashbacks in that. I didn't expect Piper to sit down and talk to somebody who started talking about using Tibetan mandalas as a way to cope with the situation. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, Jones is pretty cool.
What's she in for?
I can't remember.
Oh.
I remember very few of them, I'm afraid.
I've written down, so far, everyone is being really nice. This is very confusing.
Yeah.
Kate Mulgrew turns up. What's with the accent?
She's Russian.
Okay. Is quite strong.
Husband is part of the Russian mafia.
Okay. Oh, I've got a separate section under music and under orange. It says, did not expect jolly intro music. Sets strange expectations in the first episode. And then under Prisoner, I've got no sound at all during the episode.
So oh, yeah, no, that's
no mood music at all during the entire show. And then the end credits are like a schmaltzy romance movie. And it's like, what is with this music? It was so weird. Yeah, I've got some bits on specific characters, but I think we've covered them all, and there are a lot of similarities.
Mm.
My favourite character in Prisoner has always been, and it turns out...
Really?
Yeah.
The horrible, torturing one.
She's really interesting.
Okay, fair enough.
And it turns out that the actress wanted to leave, and so they moved her to another prison. And because she was so popular, they kept trying to persuade her to come back.
Right.
And because she kept saying no, they just killed her off screen.
Oh, harsh.
Yeah. But she was the main person that they got to come to the UK and be in the play and was...
Wow.
And, you know, the fan club was all over her, so you know, super popular. Yeah. I think that's all the bits.
Okay.
We can talk about diversity bits, what we normally do.
Well, there's obviously a lot of women, and there are a lot of women of different types, and some of them are good, and some of them are not so good.
Not in Prisoner.
Well, no. They're all 100% white in Prisoner.
Yeah.
Yes, they all seem to be white, middle-class, blonde ladies, apart from Frankie, who's the violent, predatory lesbian character.
I don't know what the ethnic breakdown of Australian prisons is, but I suspect it is not full of white people.
No, indeed not. So yes, less good on that front. The thing with Orange, though, is that you have a lot of the diversity, and as I say, later on, many of the non-white characters get very layered, nuanced stories and become amazing main characters. Some of them are less well-served to begin with than later on, and there are issues with some of it, as I discovered from the, critics. Where was I going with this? About the use of the tragedies and trauma of communities of colour to serve, you know, stories for white people.
Can I read your quote?
Yes.
The New York Times said that they found that the show is one of the most watched in urban areas despite its, quote, minority-rich ensemble cast designed to appeal more to a white audience than anybody else.
Yeah, well, that makes me a bit sad. But both of them have predatory queerness, which disappointed me.
They don't have any non-predatory queerness, certainly in the first episode.
No. That is true.
And probably, I don't know about Prisoner, but probably not at all. But is there any non-predatory queerness?
Yes, I would say so. Yes.
Okay.
But then there's also, because it's very much from Piper's point of view, I don't think any of the non... Well, very few of the non-white characters get much of a look in the first episode.
Hmm.
And I don't think any of them come across very well because, as I say, the only instance you get of Tasty is right at the start telling Piper to get out of the shower and criticising her for using the hot water and then making inappropriate comments about her breasts, which is not what Tasty is about at all.
Really?
Later on. No, she's not like that at all. She's amazing. And then you've
Tell me briefly more about this person and why she's
great. She's largely very upbeat. She advocates for prisoner rights. She does all sorts of fantastic stuff. And she has a very raw deal later on. But, I mean, she's great. I really love her. No, she's not horribly killed, but she gets extra time on her sentence. And then we find out. I think she might be with one of the ones who maybe is not innocent as such, but got a much heavier sentence than she probably should have done for what she did. But yeah, I mean, the only other actual non-white characters you get are the Gloria Mendoza, who talks to Diaz in Spanish. And then when Diaz says, "I don't speak Spanish," she goes, "Oh, great, another fucking coconut.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your mother about not teaching you Spanish?"
Yeah.
But again, she gets a really fantastic arc later on, and lots of nuance.
Says to Piper, "Do you know Spanish?" And Spanish, and Piper has a go, and she's
"She's like, yeah, even the fucking white girl talks Spanish." Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, they don't get a great rep in the first episode, but then you're looking at it from Piper's point of view, who's obviously made very uncomfortable by the proximity of all these people that she's never had any contact with. So it's not great in terms of the representation, but then you've got Sophia, who's the trans character, who has an awful lot of really fantastic arc. She's still married to her wife from previously. She doesn't have such a great relationship with her kids because of the transition, but her wife was very supportive all the way through.
Same as in Family Law.
In Family Law, yeah, exactly. So that's a lot of great stuff goes on with that. Yeah, so, yeah. It surprised me from that point of view as well.
There's a lot of interesting mental health stuff. So, I mean, there is in Prisoner right off the bat. People having all sorts of issues. I guess there's a lot of that in...
Well, one of the main characters is Suzanne, who only, in the first couple of seasons, is only referred to as Crazy Eyes, who gets a fixation on Piper. And Piper finds her threatening when she's not actually, but she has mental health issues and she has violent episodes and stuff. But it's largely played for laughs, at least to begin with.
Really?
She gets a really great storyline towards the end, and she's treated much better and with a lot more nuance and a lot more understanding. But to begin with, it's not great.
Okay.
She's one of the black characters as well.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to bring up about the show?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this episode's discussion. And now regular listeners will know that we have a 5-star rating with half stars allowed. I haven't remotely thought about
it. No, I haven't thought about it either.
Things at all. Just kind of make it up on the spot.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'll probably go 2.5 for Prisoner and 3.5 for Orange, based just on the first episode.
I mean, 2.5 for Prisoner and somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5, so let's say 3 for Orange. Prisoner gets higher score for being very more significantly hard-hitting and really talking immediately in the first episode about significant problems. Problems with the justice system, problems with drugs, problems with things, and it's very much immediately into it. And Orange gets higher points for just being significantly more diverse. And so they're both interesting in different ways.
Yeah. Biggest question of all, did you still love Prisoner?
I'm not sure I loved it back when I watched it then. I was just kind of addicted to watching it. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to watch any more. I would be quite interested in reading all the plot synopses for Orange, but not actually watching it.
Orange, I wouldn't watch it. I was thinking when I first decided that we were going to watch the first episode, I thought maybe I'll watch it all the way through again, but as I was watching it, I was like, I mean, there's so much really good stuff in it, but there's so much really horrible stuff in it too. So I thought, you know, I've got other things to watch that I haven't seen yet. So
we have quite a lot of stuff to watch.
We do have quite a lot of stuff to watch, so it's not something I'm going to revisit, I don't think.
Right. Next time.
Oh, yes. So next time. So I'm going off on writing retreat in the second week of January.
Is that not nice for you?
It is very nice for me. And I would probably like to record the next episode the weekend I get back. So I was thinking, what would I actually like to watch while I'm away, or maybe on the train on the way down to Devon? So I'm going for 2001 Julia Stiles' Save the Last Dance.
Oh, excellent.
Which is also about a young blonde white woman finding herself out of her element, but in a very different way.
I do like Julia Stiles.
Yes, indeed. So that's what we're going to do next time.
Cool.
So you're going to have to watch it while I'm away.
Cool. Right.
Yes, I think that's it for this month's episode of Will You Still Love It Tomorrow? Many thanks to Cambo for our theme music, and thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts.
And as ever, if you have any comments or would like to tell us about a time you shared some media that you love, and whether or not you still loved it afterwards, you can always email us at willyoustilloveit@gmail.com.
We'd love to hear from you. You can also get our merch at bit.ly/loveittomorrowpodcast with hyphens where the spaces should be.
And remember to join us next time to find out what I think of
Save the Last Dance and whether I still love it after our discussion.
Mm.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.